This podcast may contain content that may be alarming or triggering to some listeners, including suicide, violence, trafficking, adolescent pregnancy, and homelessness. Please check the show's notes for more detailed descriptions and take care of yourself. Welcome to Red Bean Baby, where the only thing more New Orleans than red beans and rice on a Monday is Red Bean Baby, the podcast that discusses parenting at Covenant House. Red Bean Baby is your opportunity to hear conversation amongst those with lived experiences and subject matter experts on a variety of social justice and public policy issues. Covenant House New Orleans is dedicated to serving all youth with unconditional love and absolute respect, helping youth experiencing homelessness, and protecting and safeguarding all youth in need. I'm your host, Joya, a former resident and parent of Maternal Pathways at Covenant House New Orleans, bringing you all the guests and topics surrounding youth, life without housing, first-time parents, and so much more. So grab your cafe au lait and settle in for another episode of Red Bean Baby. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Red Bean Baby podcast. My name is Joya, and I am here with Miss Kate from the Kellogg Foundation. How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for asking.
That's good. That's good. And I just want you to go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself and then how you got involved with Covenant House.
Oh, sure. So my name is Kate Parker. I'm a program officer with the William K. Kellogg Foundation. The foundation is based in Battle Creek, Michigan, but we've been working here in New Orleans for, I would say at least from pre-2008, but with some smaller projects, but since then for quite a while. And our main objective in New Orleans is to help create a healthy community where children and families thrive. So for us, that means making investments in maternal child health and helping people find access to high paying, good jobs, and making sure that folks have a great start in early education. We also do some work in food and helping folks have access to healthy food. But really, all of that is derived around finding ways for helping women and children and families thrive. So, you know, we've been here for a while, and it's a generational commitment. We know that this kind of work does not happen overnight. And our approach is really unique, I would say, than maybe other funders, because we believe in communities defining solutions themselves. So that's you know, I don't come in with a preconceived idea or an expert or anything like that. You know, I'm not the expert. People who are in the work are the experts, the ones on the ground, the communities that they serve. Those are the experts. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking about maternal child health, we're talking about the women who are having the babies. They're the experts who know what they need. And if it's children, we should also be listening to children and figuring out what they need. So all of those things kind of coalesce together and helping us define a strategy around those issues.
Wow. Well, that's really interesting and also very beneficial, too. I did go on the page and something stuck out to me. And I thought you were going to say it but it's still on the same thing. But it was basically we partner with communities and funders guided by the belief that all children should have an equal opportunity to thrive. And what does that opportunity look like for you being someone so invested in the foundation?
Yeah, I think one of the first things for us is like recognizing that you can't have a healthy baby without a healthy mom. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons why we are so enamored with Covenant House, is because they really believe in serving not just a baby and that baby's mom, but also that mama's mom. Yeah. And so how do we wrap around and take this whole family into our arms and say, how can we help you? What is it? What is your barrier? What is holding you back? And so for us, having that equal access to opportunity, that means that you know, families wake up in a house that's clean, well cared for, that they are in a walk outside their door and they're free from violence. Mm-hmm. They're free from violence in their home, outside their home. They get to a school that's easy for them to get to. They're not riding an hour and a half on a bus to get to. Yeah. That they have quality lunch at that school. They have experienced teachers. They are receiving instruction that is appropriate for their age group and also grounded in their history. You know, New Orleans has a deep background in so many pieces of our nation's founding and history that and takes a lot of that on their shoulders. And so mm-hmm. how do we make sure that students recognize where they come from and bring that forth with them wherever they go? And then I would say, like, you know, helping students have all the opportunities for a healthy school system and a healthy life. But then also, you know, their parents, do their parents have access to good jobs that are, you know, not extractive, that yeah. they have feel like they can move up in? Is there quality daycare? Are those daycare providers paid a living wage?
Yeah.
Those things are really important to building a healthy community all the way around.
Okay. And when did the foundation kind of take the two-gen approach to how they're looking at moms and babies and sustainability?
Yeah. I would say that like many things, we learned from the grantee. So we learned from Covenant House, who said, you know, this is the approach that we need to make our biggest impact. Yeah. And so, you know, I would say from our earliest investment in Covenant House, that's when that began, and like seeding that learning. I started at the foundation just 3 years ago. So I was not the one who made the first grant to Covenant House. And so I should know when they first got their first grant, but I don't. but I'm sure if it wasn't around 2008, it was probably not soon thereafter. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like, figuring out that approach is, I think, game changing, because it really solidifies the fact that this does not happen in isolation. Change right. doesn't happen in isolation. You can't just fix a person, quote unquote. Like, you have to work with the whole family and figuring out what are the barriers there, what are ways that they can be helped, what are their goals. Mm-hmm. And what I think is unique about New Orleans is that people don't leave.
No.
So you have a family, like mm-hmm. people come back yeah. and, you know, for better or worse, like they're all here. And so maybe you want to get away, maybe you don't. But I think it's really helpful to think that that's a source of strength. Mm-hmm. And so whatever we do, if we're impacting, you know, one or two or three people in that family, that yeah. has a ripple effect throughout the city. And so it's not just investing in one person, it's investing in a neighborhood, you yeah. know, because that, if you think about like, just like one house on a block, like looking terrible or looking beautiful can sort of set the tone for the block. Same in a family.
Yeah.
You know, people carry over a lot of what's happening in their family. And I think that that's an opportunity for the two-gen work to realize.
Absolutely. Like someone said, it takes a village. So mm-hmm. when you have that support, you know, you're helping that young family thrive. And what does the family approach mean to you?
Well, I think, I mean, the family approach means like improving that social support network that mm-hmm. families have. You know, one of the unique things about Covenant House is they really create spaces for people to be authentic in where they are and to build natural bridges and relationships with one another. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that really helps build that trust.
Yeah.
Without that trust, you know, clients are not going to be willing to take services. They're not going to be willing to be vulnerable with people.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that coming together, I think, makes a big difference. I think families are just, you know, probably a resource that we don't often think about. We think about people as, some folks, I guess, think mm-hmm. about people as just isolation, but a family is a source of strength, especially in New Orleans.
Yeah, absolutely. And, what advice or resources do you have for young families?
I would say, so all of our resources come through grantees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I it's funny. I got into this work. I used to run a nonprofit, Market Umbrella, which operated the Crescent City Farmers Markets. And then prior to that, I worked in obesity prevention research. And then prior to that, I was a teacher in St. John Parish. Yeah. And I think, like, all on the trajectory of my career, I've realized that, you know, it doesn't, there's no, nothing is ever too late to try, you know? Absolutely. So, like, all those jobs were not connected, right? Like, right. The only thing that connected them was my deep desire to address inequity. Yeah. And so there's no, there's never a time where anything is too late to try or do. You know, I was, like, traveling recently, and I met a woman who was a, like, a bartender at this hotel that I was staying at. And, you know, she was just, like, complaining a little bit about her, where she was in her position. And I was like, tell me what you used to think about when you were 12 or 13. Like, what were you thinking about? And she's like, oh, I wanted to be a writer. And I'm like, you can still be a writer.
Right.
So I just love that, like, the message of, like, self-improvement and, like, self-fulfillment is always ongoing. You know, you can always be whatever you want to be, you know? So I guess, like, last week I was at the Urban League conference, and I was listening to B. Mike talk with, like, 150 high school youth in the city.
Yeah.
And he, you know, we also had a great guest come in at that point, too, Pelicans player C.J. McCollum.
Oh, yeah.
And he is, like, so C.J. started out in high school as 5'2", 5'2" as a freshman. Definitely not on the basketball team at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But he had a dream, and he set this audacious goal. He's at that point, at 5'2", in ninth grade, he said, I'm going to be in the NBA. And so his advice to young people, and mine too, is set high goals. Mm-hmm. Set the audacious goal. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Right. And don't listen to the haters.
Absolutely, don't listen to the haters. Haters are your motivators.
That's right. That's right. I love that. I'm going to get a tattoo of that.
Well, like, I took the liberty of, like I said, going to the page and just checking out all of the things that the foundation does within itself. And one thing that stuck out to me, of course, being an entrepreneur, and also having a guest on the show that talked about entrepreneurism, I feel like I'm saying that right.
Yeah.
Was the NOLA BA.
Mm-hmm.
And could you just elaborate just a little bit on that?
On NOLA BA.
Yeah, on NOLA BA, and how entrepreneurs come about getting some of those funding.
Yeah, and I think, like, there's definitely several different organizations working in this entrepreneurial space. Mm-hmm. And it's funny that you were like, how do I say that word? But I can't even spell entrepreneur correctly. Like, I still feel like I switched the E and the U and everything. But so we have several organizations that are doing this great work. So certainly NOLA BA is serving as a wonderful resource with classes, with like linking people to different opportunities that they see in the system.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, just this week, I saw Urban League put out something on their Facebook page about cultivating early stage entrepreneurs who want to open up their own restaurant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so they have, like, a whole workshop series devoted to that line of business development.
Oh,
I think
wow.
That's super important and super cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, of course, you know, other folks in the city that are doing great work to help early entrepreneurs, Propeller, with a lot of their programming and helping match an entrepreneur to a business leader who, like, can help them figure out, okay, what's a pro forma? How do you create a business plan?
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you need to be incorporated or not? Like, what's the legality around all that good stuff? So they have, like, a lot of great technical assistance.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would say, like, by neighborhood, I'm thinking about Broad Street and Broad Community Connections.
Yeah.
That organization, DeJean Jordan, does great work. He's helped really, like, build up the Broad Street in terms of the business corridor, but also Bayou Road. You know, like, he's really been working one-on-one with business owners, you know, business owners of color on Bayou Road who are, you know, trying to expand, trying to improve what they're doing. And I mean, that road is like an amazing story in itself of history.
Yes.
But also, like, there are just so many great businesses along that road
yeah.
that are providing such wonderful services, from hair, nails, books, like everything.
Food, shout out
yep,
Coco
food,
Hut.
Everything. McCarty's, delicious.
Yes, so, absolutely. Yeah. And then what can the community do to further support yours and Covenant House's work?
I would say, like, I mean, you know, and I this might be a stretch, but it's an election season. And
yeah.
so I just think voting is the most important thing that anybody can do right now. Registering to vote by September, I forget what it is, or maybe it's mid-November, but really getting out there and registering to vote, making sure everybody in your family votes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no unimportant election. And I think those are the decisions that make our local policies and also, like, really do make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can just, you know, coalesce around that civic engagement and involvement, I think we're definitely going to be in a better place. You know, of course, I love that the foundation, one of our main objectives is to try to leverage additional funding for our organizations
mm-hmm.
that we partner with. So, you know, helping, you know, donating to Covenant House is always an excellent idea.
Yes.
You know, like, every little bit counts. Volunteering with Covenant House, you know, like, you know, helping with their events. Like, there's lots of ways people can get involved, you know, if not with their finance, like financial, like, it's a time or talent kind of thing, too. You know, there's a lot of ways that we can all be philanthropists
mm-hmm.
with our time and talent that we're not always thinking about. But we have innate power to do that.
Absolutely. And then what are you hearing the need is from, like, the young families? What's, like, the one thing they're like, oh, if we had this, it'd be 10 times better, or even, you know, 5 times better?
I mean, I think for young families, top of the list is probably, like, affordable, high quality childcare. You know, that is certainly an issue. It was such an issue after Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Such an issue during COVID.
Yes.
during the pandemic. And, you know, we're not out of that yet. But it's just a big issue all around. And so, you know, families want to be able to leave their children in trusted hands,
yeah.
you know, with someone that they know will love on them as much as they do.
Yep.
And help care for them. So because they have to go out and make money and support that family in some way. So that's a big thing. And then I guess, like, In addition to that, one of the things in my career I've realized as a mom, I'm a single mom of 3 boys, is that flexibility is really key.
Yeah.
And so women don't always have flexibility in their
no.
work. So if finding the way, like, when you have that, you can just do so much more. You know, you can go take your kid to the doctor.
Yeah.
You can go volunteer for that thing at school. You can pick them up instead of putting them in aftercare or whatever it is. And so helping women find their own innate leadership abilities so that they are in jobs that give them more flexibility,
mm-hmm.
I think is really important.
I think that's important, too, especially, like, having those jobs to say, yeah, I can afford to give this person that schedule. I know that's one thing I love about my job is I work in the morning while they're at school.
Mm-hmm.
I get off before they get out of school. So we still get to spend that time together.
Right.
I may not get every weekend, but I still get time from the time they're out of school to the time they go to sleep. Like, they
That's
see
critical.
Me, you know?
Yeah.
It is. It really is. And
they
I think
need you at that point because they're like, they're coming home. They're hungry.
Yep.
They're tired from
yep.
like the long day. They want to, like, see you
mm-hmm.
and just, you know, get
no.
a snack and
yep.
chill for a minute. And then you can help them with work, homework, if they've got that, or, like, just play or chill. And
yeah.
there's just not enough time, I think, in the day for parents.
It's not.
Like, you know? And
it's
so
not.
It was always funny for me because when I was, you know, when my kids were really young, there were many days and still, you know, where dinner is a rotisserie chicken and a bag of frozen vegetables
yeah.
because that's what we have time for.
Yeah.
So, you know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to do all these things and do them all perfectly all the time. And so we can just take that off ourselves by, you know, as long as we are providing a loved and safe environment for our children, then it'll all work out.
Yeah, it will. And have you seen the work that you're doing and your organization is doing make a direct impact in our communities, excuse me, and with our young families.
Yes. I mean, the first time I walked into the, like, the maternal care home that Covenant House runs, I cried and had goosebumps up and down my arms just because of what we were able to provide and what I know that, you know, walking into an environment like that can give and what it starts. That's just amazing. And yeah. So that's, you know, just one example, but there's so many other things, you know. We have supported organizations who provide incentives, like who match SNAP dollars mm-hmm. at the farmers market. So that's like a direct, you know, you walk in with $20 on your benefits card and boom, now you got 40. So yeah. Like really making sure that we're addressing the day-to-day need, but then also like at the bigger level, you know, we got the day-to-day, you know, with our partners too, but also how are we like thinking about the big picture items, making sure that do we have enough funding
yeah.
for early childhood education, you know? So we funded partners to go out and do advocacy to make sure that, you know, a few years ago there was a millage on that issue and that millage passed so that there's, you know, more millions of dollars now for that purpose from yeah. city council to make sure that we have more seats for early childhood education. So it's kind of like, It's a both approach, you know, all the way.
Yeah. All right. And how can we better educate our young families?
I don't know. I just would turn that and say, like, how can we be better educated by our young families? I mean, they're the ones who have the knowledge and expertise, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like I've learned more from talking to people than I have from any book. You know, like
yeah.
experience is the best teacher. And when I'm working with youth and working with our grantees and they tell me what's happening, then I internalize it much better than if I just read about it.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, you know, really like listening to the solutions that community people who are most impacted have and helping them like come to those solutions by giving them resources, giving them time and space. You know, that's one thing that the foundation is known for, is saying like, okay, there's a, for example, the Maternal Child Health Coalition that's formed in the city, you know, group of leaders and advocates around that, but they need time and space. They need a coordinator. So we funded, gave them some money to have a staff person to actually do all that work with them. So yeah. really giving people the time and space to breathe and think and to create and imagine what's possible, I think, is critical.
I like that. And then one last question, Ms. Kate, before I let you go. What is your favorite thing about New Orleans?
Oh, gosh. The people. 100% the people. I moved here in 1997 from Boston.
Okay.
And I will tell you that the people of New Orleans are not like the people in Boston. As you would know, you know, you walk down the street in Boston, if you say hello to somebody, they look at you funny and run away. Like, turn around and go the other way.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, stranger danger, for sure. You know, but in New Orleans, like, you know, before you ask somebody a question, you need to say hello and how are you?
Yeah.
How you doing today? Like, I appreciate that. You know, I appreciate the desire to see someone and be seen. You know,
Yeah. That
is what this city is about. And so I love that part about living here. And I love that, you know, even, you know, people who come here to live like myself and now have kids here and, you know, they're New Orleanians. I feel like, you know, we are accepted.
Yeah.
You know, some people say it's, well, if you came back after Katrina, then you're in, you know, so fine. But yeah, so I just, that's my number one thing that I love about this city are the people.
Well, that's amazing. And thank you so much for your time and sharing your time here with me and giving us some information well needed about the Kellogg Foundation. And for more information about the William K. Kellogg Foundation, there's a link below the video. And for more information about the Sleep Out, which is November 16th, you can find that at the website, which is also linked below. It's www.covenanthousenola.org. And thank you all so much for listening in, and tune in for another episode of the Red Bean Baby podcast next time. All right. Yeah.